Gamer's Guide to the Galaxy. Interstellar Gaming Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Gamer's Guide to the Galaxy. I am your acting captain for today, Vader Van Odin, also known as Charles. I'm also wearing multiple hats. I'm also the crew's pressure cooker specialist, samurai sword enthusiast, and general maintenance and craft specialist. But I'm also joined by fellow crew member, Stuart. How are you?
All right. Hello, everybody. Yes, I am Chief Potato Pure this month.
You're still in that role, are you?
Yes, I was done such a good job at peeling the potato. I am now Chief Potato Pure. The potatoes are happy. We are happy. All is well.
I know. If we got a technology to have a spaceship, do you think we'd have technology to have, like, self-peeling potatoes or, like, nanobots that, like, eat the skins off the potatoes for us?
No, because that would be my job and I would be made redundant, so no.
We'd have to send you out into the space to repaint the ship.
Yay! That's coming next season. Don't waste any surprises.
That's, like, my favourite, shot, like, the establishing shot from Red Dwarf is where, like, it just pans out. And it's got, like, listers, and they're, like, painting this massive ship.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real impressive as well, because it's, like, the first series was back in the day, and it's probably one of the mere epic shots of the whole thing, was that one that shot for the first series, you know? I know things picked up kind of season three and stuff, but that shot of him actually just painting the letters was pretty epic for back then. Back in the day, back when it was in black and white, there was a man with a piano on every street corner.
Anyway, how you been? You staying alive?
Yeah, as is usual, the most uneventful man in the world. I just living, breathing, waking up, going to bed, working, making money. Waiting to hear when consoles are getting release dates. Never! Waiting to hear when Cyberpunk's delayed. Soon! Just the same old. Keep going round in circles. You could say I'm just rotating round this mortal coil till I fall off the end. Sooner than later, perhaps. But we'll see.
And I mean, you prove the world is flat.
Yes. You're going to regale us with your life of excitement, movie stardom, probably building a model with a QE2 fucking winning awards, you know what I mean? Fucking Mr. Superstar living in a country of great people, blah, blah, blah. Go on, tell us how good life is.
down under? Below the down under?
below the down under.
Yeah, that's us. Things all right. That's what I was going to ask you. You see you're still working from home?
Yes, forever.
Yep. Stuck in your shell.
I work where you find me now. It's the most depressing thing. I'm actually using the same machine I used to work. It's like deja vu, only at night time. Yes. Never a day off.
Yeah. Work to survive. Yeah, so things are not too bad here. We've had a little resurgence up in the big city, Auckland.
Yeah, I heard it was coming back.
According to Trump, it's a massive surge and we're all dying.
Yep. New Zealand's are the reason why we're all going to die, part two. The bad guys in this Die Hard part two movie are the New Zealand folk. Because they're just bad people. They're just a tiny wee island out in the Pacific, but they're not in the Pacific, but, you know, it's geographical terms. They're just out there on their own, minding their own business, but nah, they're the bad guys.
Yep, we're percolating here, the coronavirus.
And sending it nowhere.
but no, we had a small outbreak in a community But it's only in Auckland, and it's also a very kind of specific spot in Auckland, so it's not really a risk of getting out of hand from what I can tell. But we still have some restrictions, but not really. We just can't have big gatherings, that's about it, down here. Auckland itself, where the city had went into lockdown. So yeah, it's business as usual for me. Still back at work, plodding along.
Yeah, I think that's the way it's going to go, but it's not going to be like lockdown. It's going to be a micro lockdown, which is as good as lockdown, I suppose, in certain ways. But it's like up here, it's like areas are locking down. But
yep,
it's not going to go away until there's a vaccine found. But we now have the fear that because winter, old man winter's here. He's getting here. It's a case that I've seen because the flu's coming with winter and stuff that it could piggyback on the back of the flu and we could all die. Well, we could all die.
Double whammy. Yeah, we kind of missed the flu season this year because no one was in contact, so flu didn't spread. So
Funny that.
And so, because yeah, went through.
Who would have funked it? Viruses don't spread if people don't touch each other and wear masks and so forth. It's mind-blowing.
Yep, it is. But other than that, I've been keeping busy. Last time I was getting ready for Armageddon, the
end of the world.
Well, yeah. But where we had our cosplay, and so me and the kids entered the competition. The competition was rigged. It was a joke. It was a sham. We clearly had the best costume, and we won nothing.
Oh, you won the respect of the other competitors.
Well, yeah, actually, literally one of the other people who won, so we got off stage, just like, how come you guys didn't win? Like, she literally said that to us. And as we're coming off stage, like, everyone was walking off, and, like, the crowd came up to me and the kids, and we're like, you guys were great. And, like, everyone else was just walked off, and we're ignored.
Everyone else was escorted out to the sound of golf claps in the audience. Not whoopering and hauling, just a polite little golf clap as they walked off the stage.
My thing is, I think because the kids, they just have an issue with, they don't want to have share pictures of children, because we found out that during the event, they've got paid photographers just going around taking people who aren't in the competition, just everybody who's got cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been going for years, and we've never once had our photos taken, and we've always dressed up, and we've always been pretty cool costumes.
I'm one of these believers that after a certain amount of time, you got to say it's maybe him, it's maybe you. You know what I mean?
Look internally.
Yeah. So, well, maybe this is my 12th gig and I'm still not getting it. Maybe it's my fault. Maybe it's not their fault. Maybe crazy idea.
But yes. But then also the ultimate winner of the event gets sent to like the Auckland show, and there's one representing all the cities around New Zealand.
Gets to win a case of Corona. Congratulations.
But I figured they don't want to send more than one person because they don't want to have the budget of flying three people.
These things, they always like happy smiley people and happy smiley kids having a great time. Oh, having a good time, everybody. It's like, that's how you look at them and you go, oh, look, the people are having a good time. Maybe we'll have a good time. We did not have a good time. But,
so
yeah.
I think it was a little political. I think it was a bit rigged.
Just be happy you got to go to a fucking expo, right? That's honest. Right, be happy. You go to go to an expo. I'd give anything to stand in a queue and smell the ripe stench of a heavily weighted gent wearing a heavily weighted coat and a beanie in an auditorium, which is like the surface of the sun, while some horrible Japanese anime game trailer plays on repeat for the 14th time for the most unsatisfying 5 minutes of gameplay of a game that I didn't really want to play. I just thought, you know what, I've come all this way, I'm as well doing something, and then to get scalped for a product I could have bought online for a fraction of the cost. But anyway, yeah, you just live it up. You know what I mean? You live it up. You go to debt. We didn't. All right? Live it up.
Well, because to wallow in my sorrows, I ended up buying myself a katana. I bought one from One Piece, Zoro. One of his replica swords. So I've been wanting a sword for a while. It's not, for the price, that it's pretty good quality. It's not high end. I really want like a proper battle ready katana at some point. But I bought one, and the girl liked our costume at the store, so she gave me a discount and a free sword stand. But after the consolation prize was during the expo, the same store that sold the swords, Hobby Zone, shout out, not being advertised, just to leave one know, they ran a competition where you took a selfie with their little stand, and the most likes from on the picture on their Facebook page won $200 voucher. And so we won that. So we got a $200 voucher, so I bought a second sword. So now I went from no katanas to two katanas.
Forget the kids! Bucket. They don't deserve anything! You're not getting any of this prize money. It's mine! Go away, kids! Yes, you shrewd man. I see how you do it.
Now, I bought the kids, with the leftover money, I bought the kids like little gel BB guns. Like they should shoot little gel balls.
A bag of carrots each.
And so they got little gel blasters, so the little handguns that shoot little gel BBs, and so they kind of, that's like really soft paintball, really, so like it just like bounces off because it's little gel balls. So they did get something, and Odin likes having the katanas in the room. He's not allowed to touch them because they're sharp, but he thinks they're cool.
At least if you have two swords, so you can get one each of them when you you're not going to get one each of them when you die, but someday will. Do you know?
Yep.
Like,
yeah. I'll be buried with me, like a true samurai.
Yeah, okay. Fucking. It's a chance of infection there. The COVID carriers. Don't know how, but they are.
Also, on top of that, I worked on another short film. The Friend.
That wasn't the phrase I was expecting. I was expecting the chicken coop is complete. Because my gammy my gammy leg, or my gammy whatever, my made-up illness last month has magically disappeared, and the chickens are now roosting happily.
No, I forgot. I've kept it quiet and just purposely didn't share pictures because I wanted to bring it up on the show. So yeah, after the last episode, I did. I went out and finished the chicken coop.
And the chickens are happy. Yeah,
they are. They're really happy.
Excellent.
The improved little environment is much nicer, and we've got more space.
It was a better conclusion than the Star Wars saga. The chicken coop saga was better than the whole arc of the prequel movies.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So around that same time, the friend that we did the last movie with, he calls us up. The last movie, there was a lot of bad things happened. Someone broke their leg. It rained the whole time. It was up a big hill. And at the end of it, he's like, don't worry, my wife's about to have a baby.
Being Titanic, I am. Yeah, it was a bit hard shoot. How? It was up a hill. All right, okay.
Oh, yeah, but I had to lug up like 200 kilos worth of like gear like every day.
So it was a bad movie for you because you were the pack mule for the shoot, basically.
Yep. Right. Yes. And at the end of the shoot, the director was like, okay, my wife's about to have a baby in a couple of weeks' time.
Burn everything.
I won't be doing another film anytime soon. So we can rest up, and I'll do one in summer. 3 weeks later, a week after his wife has had a baby, he calls me and my wife up, and it's like, I've got another idea.
Yeah, got to keep yourself busy in this time of Corona.
Life. Yeah. And so he's like, I need a robot suit by next Thursday. So
I've got two in my back kitchen, I'll just throw them together.
So within 6 days, I built a robot suit, and my wife made a monster suit, and me and my brother I won't call us actors, we were the people inside the robot suit and the monster suit, and we got to make another short film where I was able to be a robot, and me and my brother were able to basically fight and scrap and chase and run, and I couldn't see anything, so I tripped over lots and ran into trees, ran down rivers.
Sounds like you're going to get Pacific Rim a run for their money.
We're not at that scale. It's basically robot version of Death Stranding.
selling it hard there, aren't you? Selling it hard.
I liked Death Stranding, it was good.
Hindsight's 2020.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. And now
Death Stranded makes me happy to live in a COVID-infected world. I'm just putting that right there.
That's basically what Death Stranding is about.
Nah, Death Stranded's bleaker than the world we live in, and the world we live in's bleak. Do you know what I mean? I've got a can of Monster in my hand. Look, that's a can of Monster. So, fuck. Do you know what I mean? It's Death Stranded.
It is Death Stranding.
Yeah, it's fucking Death Stranded. So bad. Do you know what I mean? Just for irony, we're gonna live. No, we're not gonna live. Norman Reedus down the can because I'd end up probably killing myself. But you know. It's a good way to go.
Take a sip. Go on. Take a sip.
I can't even remember what he does. He just tells me to drink it and he downs cans, don't he? Oh, that's me up all night. Oh. Never drink energy juice after 9 o'clock. It's 10 to 11, people. I'll have the shakes in my bed tonight. Sugar.
Don't worry, I bet you're going off to play some games after this anyway.
Yeah, it's a double-double weekend on COD, so I'm going to go play COD.
There you go. No complaining from you. No. So yeah, so being busy, and part some of the crew from that short film, they've now asked me to make a space helmet, so I'm in the process of making a space helmet.
Just the helmet. Space. Don't need a suit, just need the helmet. It's a bit strange.
It's going to be just a short film, and it's the only shot with the actors in the... In the suit is like going to be like Titan head and shoulders, so we're making just the shoulders of the suit because it's during takeoff. Just a short film that they're working on as a concept. So I got myself a 3D printer and spent 48 hours printing parts to the space helmet. So it's been a learning curve. It's been a time.
So what you're telling is. Gamer's Guide to the Galaxy keyrings and door fobs are not far away, basically. Is that what you're telling us?
If you've got 100%, we need to get a 3D a spaceship designed and as a 3D model, so I can so I can 3D print us a spaceship for sure.
Yes, 1/17th scale. Use your imagination. Yep. Just distance. Just stand away from it. You'll be fine.
Well, if we could film it in like a black room and it's just like Red Dwarf, it look like it's massive.
Just stick it to a wee stick and run about with it. Whee!
Yeah. I'm down. So that is a potential future project.
There you go.
That I've already thought about. So yeah, keeping busy is basically what I'm doing. Staying alive, playing video games, being a samurai. That's life.
That is
so what's... there's actually been some pretty cool things being announced and talked about. The one I'm going to bring up first is a Chinese studio, I guess you call them indie, have announced a game called Black Myth Wukong. And that's based on. Have you heard of this? Did this cross your path?
No. Well, mate, sure. If you talk about it, it'll ring a bell, maybe.
So they basically dropped like a 13-minute gameplay trailer, and they're like, well, what I can tell, the world blew up about it. But that's maybe just the realms I'm in. Like, I love kung fu movies. When I have time, I record with Sentinel Plus on Twitter, Kung Fu Movie Podcast, so I love Kung Fu movies.
Oh, you moonlight, do you? Thanks for telling me. Alright, that's why we don't get many cast suit people.
To be fair, due to other circumstances, we haven't recorded a Kung Fu Movie Podcast. It's called Crouching Tiger Hidden Podcast, if you want to know. In like 4 months because life hasn't worked out.
Fucking shoehorn in that plug. Like, I need to get in that plug. Quick.
Well, it fits. It fits because this game is based on the Chinese legend Journey to the West.
No, which, monkey again!
Yes, monkey again. One of my favourite stories and favourite...
The only story that ever comes to the West for the East is monkey. There's nothing... Nothing. Like, it's always monkey. It's always connected to Monkey or does something to Widewi Monkey, you know what I mean?
Well, it is called Journey to the West, so it kind of fits.
It's always the same tale. Hundreds, thousands of years of lore and all of that. Razamadaz, they just hang on this one single story.
To be fair, it is also one of the most famous. And in Hong Kong and Chinese cinema, they do remake the story very often for their own audience, not for the West, not for us. Anyway, this game looked fantastic. This is how you do an announcement. You actually drop a legitimate gameplay trailer. Like, it was clearly gameplay, and it looked phenomenal. It's pre-alpha, so unfortunately, it may be a while before we get to play it. But it looked gorgeous. The gameplay was very action-y, De Souls, had a Sekiro vibe. So, yeah, slightly more action-y than your Dark Souls kind of combat, but had that kind of ground weighty feel to it. You get Monkey, like, one of the first fights, he gets a new weapon.
Oh, is this nine monkeys a show long?
No.
Hmm.
I put the link in now in the discussion. If you want to check out the trailer while we're chatting.
Oh, well, Monkey. Funny enough, Monkey's getting another game. there's another game coming out called The Nine Monkeys Show Long, which is it's another kind of, well, I'm assuming it's linked to it, but yeah, that's by a German company. There you go. See, it's all the.
I think I did see that one, and it doesn't look very good.
Looks quite arcadey, like mobile orientated. Yeah. I mean, Unruly Heroes is at the moment the best monkey game I've played, bar none. Andy Serkis's vessel was good as well. Okay, it's true.
Well, you could just say Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, because it's basically the same.
Nah. It's direct monkey stuff I care about. None of this tertiary.
Yeah, so the Nine Monkeys of Shaolin, I had a look at. It looks very simple to combat. It's side-scroll, it's double dragon style, from what I can tell. Well, it's sort of side-scrolling. But no, that's not the game I'm talking about. That game's mud compared to this game. This is...
Jesus God. No holding back, is it?
No, this game looks fantastic. You need to pull up the trailer and have a look at it. And it's been well received. People in the comments are quite funny. If you want to read the comments on the IGN post, just all about how this is how you release a game, none of this CG cinematic rubbish. Unfortunately, the downside is at the end the studio like come back and commented saying, look, we're blown away by the people's enthusiasm for this. We're just going to disappear and go dark again. You're not going to hear from us for a while. Basically, they released it to see if there was interest, and there clearly is, but then they were overwhelmed by the interest and now feel bad that they told people about it because it's not going to be out for a while, unfortunately. But it just looks gorgeous, and the combat looks fun. As I say, I was saying before, you get a new a weapon from beating an enemy, and Monkey does the shrinks the weapon down and puts it in his ear, and I was just like, that's it. That's that's sold. For those who don't know, that's where Monkey stores his staff in the Legends. He can shrink his weapons.
See.
And hides them in his ear.
See.
It's just... It looks cool. It looks fun. It's these mythical warriors of heaven, like animal, like fox people and that you're fighting. It just looks cool. It's right up my alley. I love kung fu movies. I love Chinese folklore. I love Monkey. He's my friend. And I love action RPGs, and it's everything. It's made for me.
Right.
And I'm super excited.
Good for you.
Did you have a look at the gameplay while we're chatting?
I did find the trailer, but I didn't click on it. But I'll have a quick vertical slice of it. Oh, aye.
This looks good.
Could be next gen.
Yes, well, that's what people are saying. Some of the comments like, this is the best next gen game I've seen. So who knows? Who knows what will come
out. There's a kind of whiff of Dark Souls about it as well, you bet, isn't there? A kind of...
I did say that.
Fighting a big kind of werewolfy thing, climbing, running an arena, climbing the roof and stuff, and it's like, you can tell it's a trailer because when the thing jumps on the roof, the tiles fall off the roof. That's never happening in game. Never! Never happens in the game. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of level of interaction with the environment. Not happening. I'm sorry, Fred. Fred, sir. I'm afraid it's not happening.
Next gen might be happening. That's what all the extra teraflops are for.
Bullshit's happening. Next gen's a myth. Urban legend. Never existed.
But yeah, it definitely has a Dark Souls type feel to it. I just hope it doesn't get dumbed down. They don't pare it back. I'm hoping it comes out at this level.
China's a kind of hit and miss area, I find, for games.
Well, to be honest, I can't say I know of really any. Like
Crossfire. Crossfire X. Oh, I can really think off the top of my head. But there's loads of mobile, big into mobile games and all that, and the MOBAs and stuff and all that. That's what it is.
There's been a few rumblings. There was a Souls-like game that they were working on that I just seemed to go nowhere. I can't remember what it's called now.
To be honest, if they wanted to have a foothold in the games industry, they probably could.
Well, to be honest, I think that there's rumblings that they are moving that way.
You know what I mean? You could probably end up with a machine for China that rivals the crop, you know?
The X station, they'll call it.
The pop station. Woo!
But yeah, I really hope this game works out and we do get it, because I want to play it. I want to play it bad. But yeah, what other news has kind of crossed your realms of interest?
Trank, anything exciting? Well, Gamescom had a live evening, tours are shite, so that's that covered.
I honestly didn't even hear that it was happening.
it was like Jurassic World Evolution was announced for the Switch, and Fall Guys Season 2 was announced, and they re-showed the Ratchet & Clank demo that we all saw, but they redid it again. Sam & Max is coming back. Woo! Everybody loves Sam & Max. The Sims is getting a Star Wars expansion. Woo! Little Nightmares 2 got a tiny, tiny trailer. It's fair enough. BioWare did a video that basically says, by the way, guys, we still exist, but it was basically just a docu-vid on how they're working on Dragon Age 4, but there was no concept art, environment art, game trailers, animation. It was basically just like, hi, we're BioWare. We fucked up with Anthem, but we're still a company. Hi, guys. COD was announced as well prior to it, and then it was a trailer shown for it. So
I did see that. There's a new one. Is it like Cold War?
Yeah, it was. I'll be honest. The announcement was really well done. They stole the Apple idea of doing an in-game event, and it was like you played the Battle Royale version, so you went into Warzone, but there was a special mode. And when you jumped out the plane, normally it shows you the different areas' names above the map. But like when you jumped out the plane, it redacted all the areas as you fell in, and you would get like flashbacks, like Mason did in Black Ops and stuff. And instead of killing guys, you were tasked with you had to get 5 documents, and then you had to find a box in a certain area, which then gave you a key to open a certain door, which then gave you the coordinates to find Woods for Black Ops, who then handed you a blueprint for a sniper rifle. It was a really nice interactive advert, basically. And at the end, once you found Woods, the screen went blank and it started playing the trailer, but then it started up again and it had basically said, get to the stadium, as the circle kept shutting and shutting and shutting and shutting. You had no guns. And then everybody's running into the stadium in the game, so you had 150 odd people running towards the stadium. And the minute you got to the stadium, it played the trailer for for Cold War, which looks fun. For what I was reading, it seems to have it's a bit more open-ended mission-wise, the kind of a bit Hitman-y, I'm told, in that you can kind of choose your path and stuff. But that doesn't matter. What matters is everybody's upset because Ronald Reagan's in it. God damn it. Ronald Reagan was a bad man. His name was a cowboy. He was a great cowboy. and it's set in Vietnam as... Show me a Black Ops game that isn't. But, okay, Black Ops 3 and 4. Fair enough. But anyway... it's set in Vietnam partway, and then it's also set in 1980. Behind the Iron Curtain, as you run you're a Spec Ops team under the jurisdiction of Ronald Reagan, it's cool because it brings back all the good characters, so like Woods and Mason and stuff, and by the looks of things, and it also looks like the guy that leads the team's Robert Redford, but it's no Robert Redford, but he fucking is Robert Redford. Really does look like him. It's COD. It's out in November. I think this is the shortest bleed time between an announcement to a release on COD there has ever been. Because usually COD gets announced back at E3. So, yeah. Although it was rumoured for a long time in Warzone. And they have been kind of weaving crumbs. And although Warzone's set in the future, our current time, it's strange. I don't quite understand how it works. But Warzone's kind of had a crumb trail, hints and tips and sneaks and that to what the game was going to be. But the big question I've got is, will Warzone exist in a Cold War world? Because there's been no talk of it having a Battle Royale mode. It'll have multiplayer, but there's no talk of a Battle Royale mode. So I don't know if Warzone will just evolve or if Warzone will just die. So we'll find out in November.
Yeah.
Good times.
Have they said if it's going to be on both platforms?
It's on everything. Under the sun. You can pre-order it now. There's three versions. There's an all singing, all dancing version. There's a standard version. And there's the next gen! Which you pay an extra £10 for the right to, in brackets, get the upgraded version for the Xbox Series X or the PS5. So... something else to think about is that's us now getting into the realm of digital upgrades costing an extra $10-$15, pounds, Mickey Mouse coins, on top of the standard issue stuff, you know?
Can you... Well, it's a chance that these publishers can increase the price that they've been trying to for years.
Well, condemned on... Control's already announced the Ultimate Edition. So I own Control, I own the two... expansions for the new, but I will not be able to play Control or the two expansions on the Xbox Series X unless I get the Ultimate Edition. Yeah, call that bullshit all day long if you want, kids, because it totally is bullshit.
I thought the backwards... So that's them choosing to block it.
This is the problem, see, because they've basically went, it's up to the developers! Yeah, what they didn't realise is it's up to the developers whether they do it, but it's also up to the developers whether they charge you or fuck you over. So that's why like Cyberpunk have said you'll get a free upgrade, whereas EA have said you'll get a timed upgrade, so there'll be a window, a opportunity.
Yeah.
Whereas companies like, Remedy are doing it, so it's like they're... they've flat out said, basically, if you want to play this next gen, you need to buy the Ultimate Edition, which is a right slap in the face for folk who actually bought Control and the Season Pass at the time, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it is.
What was the point? Like, what was the point? If you had just sat and waited till the Ultimate Edition came and bought it, you know? It's bad. And I think this is just the start of this episode, we'll call it, and I think the next 6 months there'll be a lot more of this dodgy dealing. Ubisoft have not really been involved in it. EA have dabbled in it. 2K have kind of done it with the NBA game, but they're hiding the upgrade behind the deluxe edition, so it's not quite as clean cut. Activision have played their card with COD, so We'll see.
But that, none of these have options just to get the next gen.
At the moment, I don't know, but as far as I'm aware, a lot of these, every title, kind of mentioned COD, Control, and all that, they strictly state you must either buy this edition or own this edition. So if you owned, say, Cold War on the Xbox One, and then you got the Series X and you want it to play it on the Series X, part of me thinks you'll be able to play it on it, but I don't think you'll have it with all the HD textures and all that, or the fancy version, if you know what I mean. But because the console isn't out yet, we don't know if you can buy that upgrade separately. So if you buy Cold War, can you buy the upgrade for like $5-$10, you know what I mean, out with? Which, again, is a bit of a shit fucking deal, if you know what I mean. So there's a whole lot of unknowns happening just now with this, and I'm a bit kind of, It definitely feels like the next kind of loot box episode we're walking into, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, it doesn't sound good.
Shady is the word. What should have happened is they should have come out and said, by the way, guys, you will be able to upgrade if the developers want it, but we strictly state that if they're going to do it, they'll have to do it for free. Do you know what I mean? Or they'll have to cap, they've capped it and said you have to do it for like $5, because technically you've already paid $50 for the game. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah, exactly. So with the Control as the example, can you not play the game at all on the next generation?
I don't know. This is the thing, we don't know. We just know that there's an upgrade coming, but does the game need the upgrade to run? I don't know.
Yeah, because they're still blocking it completely. I think that's
They've just basically told the whole Control user base to buy the game again. Wholesale. You know what I mean? It's like, fuck yous, buy my game again. No.
It's not worth buying again.
No, it's not worth double dipping. And also, it's like stuff like Star Wars Squadrons is only £30. So is that going to have like a $10 upgrade to play next gen? Which means the whole point of being a cheaper title then becomes irrelevant, because it then becomes a full price title because of the upgrade. So we'll see. They're dangerous. These are dangerous times we live in, you know what I mean?
Well, especially where companies may be struggling to make as much money as they have in the past because of the economic climate. And so they might be trying to claw what they can, where they can.
Well, the other thing as well is once we go into the next gen as well, expect all the fucking HD upgrades, HD remakes to be coming as well, you know what I mean? We lived through it this gen, we'll live through it again next gen. So, you're like, Horizon Zero Dawn will probably get HD'd before the second one comes out. Fucking Gears 5.
I hope not, because we don't, to be honest, we don't need it. Like, the graphical power quality of this like current generation has been perfectly adequate. Like, I don't need to see a slightly shinier game.
Crisis Remastered's coming soon. I'm definitely going to use that as a benchmark, because Crisis was a good looking game. It wasn't a pushover before the remaster. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you're going to remaster it,
3 years, wasn't it?
You're going to need to make it look the business. But I've seen the tech demos and stuff, and it looks good. But then I think it's also a statement of intent by Crytek to basically say our engine runs perfectly on next generation consoles. Buy now, you fools. Buy. But we'll see. So it keeps going on. I just don't see. Yeah. I just have a feeling like the lack of information, that these things prop them up, it doesn't evoke well for the future, you know what I mean? It just feels like a whole, do you know what I mean? It just feels like it's just not going to be as smooth a ride as what we'd maybe expected.
Well, especially seeing as we're potentially 2 months out and we still don't know details of release.
Still no squat, you know, so.
After watching this Wukong trailer on IGN websites, the video popped up talking about how I wasn't listening to it. I could see like little subtitles popping up saying that Sony have said they won't be delaying their console from the sounds of it.
It's obviously to do with the financial year, but isn't it? They'll have promised by stockholders and shareholders that the product would ship in this financial year, wouldn't they? So they're like, fuck it. But then what I'm hearing as well is yes, it might ship, but it might ship in such a small quantity, it's going to be negligible at the end of the day. Do you know what I mean? So it's the old Nintendo supply-demand scenario, i.e. we have a massive demand, but we're only putting in like a tenth of the actual shipment into the pond to build that demand. I can see that happening a wee bit, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, the Switch is an example. There wasn't enough Switches in the world to satisfy the want, if you know what I mean. And, fuck, just look at Amiibos. Nintendo make Amiibos. The Amiibos get stripped. Nintendo don't make more Amiibos. The Amiibos they did strip end up getting put on the line and getting inflated 4 or 5 times the price.
Yep.
Why do Nintendo just don't make more? Because they want to build a hunger and a demand for these products. Do you know what I mean? It's an instant way of building.
Well, yeah, it's the same thing value they did with the Nintendo. Like I argued that on a podcast at one point that they purposely sell the NES Mini with very limited stock, and so people who are on the fence definitely buy the SNES Mini. Because like, oh, I missed out. Like, I was on the fence and I waited and I missed out on the NES. I'm going to get in there for the SNES. And so they do. Well, they do. They sell 3 times as many as they did with the previous. And so I do think they purposely choose to be scarce for future sales.
Yeah, and I think that's how this the launch in the next gen will go. But I definitely think it will be a low quantity. Because I've noticed this week they put up Sony launched a website where you can register to get told when pre-orders go live, but that's pre-orders direct face Sony, which is never a good idea buying direct from the company that might sell it, if you know what I mean, because they're obviously going to dictate price as it's their thing, whereas if you're buying it for a third party seller, it's different, you know.
Yeah, so I've signed up to like two or three register interest email thingies through different retailers just to cover my bases. I think it's 3 of them I've done, just so I can make sure I get my pre-order in. And I don't want to have to do that, but I kind of want it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. But until they pull the trigger, we'll know. The future's misty at best.
It's very strange because we should know by now. I still think, like we said before on this podcast, I think they're playing a game of chicken.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's getting by that point. I think we're by that point now. So it's just a case of who jumped first.
I think there's long executive meetings going on. Basically, how little can we sell this for? Or how much we can sell it for? What's hit can we take to get this out there?
True.
But or do we have to take a hit? Can we sell it premium and still get the sales?
It's all about profit.
Yeah, it's a weird one. Weird times.
Could I jump for 2 moments and break the fourth wall? Can I jump to the water closet and pop back in a moment?
You go for it.
Thank you very much. I'll be a moment. Don't count, please. I may be longer than a moment. I may be 2. Doesn't help my mic's tied round my chair. God damn it. I was going to take my mic off there, but I realised the cable's caught. Fuck. Send help. No, I've got it. It's fine. Right, I'll be 2 minutes.
What did Batman say to Robin before he got in the car? Robin, get in the car. Did you hear about the man with a broken left arm and broken left leg? Don't worry, he's all right now. What kind of music do chiropractors listen to? hip pop. What do you call a rabbit with fleas? Bugs Bunny. What did Cinderella wear at the beach? Glass slippers. That was a really bad one. What did the mama bear say to her cub? Don't go out in your bare feet. What did the hamburger name his daughter? Patty. What is smarter than a talking bird? A spelling bee. Why did the baby strawberry cry? Because his parents were in a jam. I went down the local supermarket and said, I want to make a complaint. This vinegar's got lumps in it. The assistant said, those are pickled onions. This is dumb. How did you get a mouse to smile? Say cheese. Why do two skunks argue? Because they like to kick up a stink. I actually have a friend who just got a pet skunk. I believe it had its stink sacs removed, but it was a rescue or orphaned baby skunk. But it's just a weird pet, but it's very cute. What did the Zen Buddhist say to the hot dog vendor? Make me one with everything. Oh, make me one with everything. That's actually pretty good. Be one with the universe. Why were the early days of history called the Dark Ages? Because there were so many knights. Patient. Doctor, I seem to get heartburn whenever I eat birthday cake. Doctor, have you tried removing the candles first? I've heard that one. A man telephoned the airline office and asked, how long does it take to fly to Boston? The clerk said, just a minute. Thank you, the man said and hung up. Stupid is, stupid does. A man goes to the circus. After the show, he speaks to the manager and asks for a job. All right, what can you do? The manager asks. I can do great bird impersonations, the man replies. Psh, a lot of people can do that. Oh well, the man says, and flies away. Two aerials meet on a roof, fall in love, get married. The ceremony was rubbish, but the reception was brilliant. Why did the orange stop? Because it ran out of juice. What do you call a computer that sings? Adele. I hope you got that one. Adele, the singer from... Is she Welsh? UK? Why did the boy eat his homework?
I have returned.
Oh, you just ruined the punchline. I'm telling dad jokes. Why did the boy eat his homework?
I don't know.
Because his teacher said it was a piece of cake. You missed out on the fun. Alright, we may continue. Where were we? What news was there? I think we're done.
I think that was us. We finished the news. I pushed it to the the natural break.
Well,
I can't wait to hear the get dad joke section. That'll be great.
I figured rather than sing in silence, I'd read them out. What have we been playing? I think that's what we're up to.
Yes. Games.
Games.
For me, more Ghost of Tsushima, obviously. It's a great game. I love it. So not Games. Much more to report. But, yeah, it's so good. I love being a samurai.
See the corpse but, coming.
Oh yeah, that's news and gaming. Nice segue. I will talk about that. I'm really happy about that. That's really cool.
It's an interesting idea because it's a prequel in a kind of weird way because you don't play as the main guy. You play as four random guys.
To be fair, I kind of prefer that. I don't like multiplayer when like all four of you are the same guy and it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, but what I was thinking, it was more an interesting take on it because obviously they've been thinking about it. Like this must have been on the cards before the game launched.
And it's free.
Will the story bolt into the actual thing? Aye, because the bad guys invade still. It still changes nothing, but.
Yeah. Well, from what I haven't looked at it too much because I'll just enjoy it when it comes. I don't like to spoil things too much for myself. But Ghost of Tsushima, it is around historical events, but with some artistic license.
Mm-hmm.
The game itself, there are legends and there's myths that come across through the storytelling of the game. But most of the missions you play as Jin, well, not most. A few of the missions you play, in side missions especially, folk, peasants, storytellers, people telling of Oni or demons or ghosts doing some crazy thing. And as Jin, you go in and prove that it's just bandits. It's all grounded in reality, the game of Ghost of Tsushima.
It's grounded in reality to a point, and then they've took artistic license.
Well, yes, and it's a big storm, and there is obviously, you talk to priests and throughout the game, and that they're all praying that basically the island Tsushima fights back for itself, in effect. And that's kind of what, as well as history events, happens. is... The storm is what actually helped Japan repel the Mongol invasion. Other wars in history have done the same thing. I think the French or the Spanish invading England with Queen Elizabeth I. A big storm took out the navy of the opposed...
I don't think they were invading England, but I think it was a great naval battle.
Yes, and the England didn't have the ships to compete, but the big storm helped... take out. Anyway, so that's happened in history multiples of times, so it's nothing, but the game does lean into the fact that there is a mystical level of guidance or protection from deity, as the game works around that Jin has been guided by the literal wind, which is a great game mechanic and thematically fits, to help protect this island. The foxes, the animals, the birds are all there to guide and help strengthen you in your quest to defend. And then the storm is a pinnacle point. But it's still all... Generally, the game's grounded in reality. What I believe this expansion is, or this cooperative missions, is going to be balls to the wall, fantastical and mythical. So there will actually be mythical creatures, and it's you're living the legends that are being told throughout.
Hmm.
The island of Tsushima. And I think that's a cool idea to kind of step it up a notch, take it out to the world of fantasy more for the expansion while keeping the main game quite grounded. Because you're playing as the legends of Tsushima, aren't you? You're playing as some of these legendary characters that are being
discussed. I think it'll be a case of there'll be presets, won't they? There'll be preset
loadouts
and stuff and all that, and there'll be like an archer and a heavy guy. And
these are characters that we've learnt about through some of these quests, and they've become larger than life. They've become, as I've talked about this multiple times, it fits in with the Dark Souls mythology. It fits in with a lot of real mythology in our world, the Greek and Viking, that these legends, these stories of Ragnar, become bigger than life. And they become godlike. And so that's kind of what they're doing with this. This famous archer who defended his village probably just killed a few guys, but legend has it that he fought off an army. So now we get to play as him, and I think that's going to be really cool. Like, I'm pretty excited to get into it. And it's free. Like, this is a big thing as well. This is an example, and that's why I want to support CD Projekt Red, despite I don't know if Cyberpunk's going to actually be my game.
Well, they've announced as well, they've hinted as well with Cyberpunk switching track, but Cyberpunk's going to have the same kind of aftercare as what The Witcher had. So I think The Witcher got 28 pieces of DLC for free, but they were kind of wee small bits, so like hairstyles, I think there's a few quests and stuff, and that tattoos were in there and stuff. Apparently, Cyberpunk's going to follow that route, but it also is likely that it'll get two big expansions in the same vein as what The Witcher did. Do you know what I mean?
But again, it's good content. It's good meaty content. And I want to support studios that do that. So it's great that Ghost of Tsushima, they're doing that. Like, I think that's pro-consumer and very, very cool. And they didn't have to. The game was done. The game was great. I'm loving the game. And I was happy. But to just throw this in as icing on the cake, like, it's not even icing. The game already had its own icing. This is not even the cherry. This is like some bonus whipped cream or custard or something. I don't know. Mm. Like chocolate sauce. You've got your cake and you're throwing in some ice cream. Like, that's what it feels like. We've got our cake and now we're getting a couple of scoops of ice cream with chocolate sauce.
Freebies with more freebies. With freebies.
And then
the argument is there'll be the cynics out there that'll be like, oh, but you do realise it was just pulled for the full release because it was probably not ready to ship. And well, that's a good thing as well. Do you know what I mean? Because if it wasn't ready to ship, it shows they've took the right statement and went, right, we'll remove this section, this feature, until it's ricky-ticky, and then we'll bring it back, but we'll bring it back for free. So that's maybe a case as well, but rather than shipping it with a busted up multiplayer aspect, you know, so...
Oh, exactly. I'm not one for multiplayer in general, but this is like more of a cooperative multiplayer, not like a full-on multiplayer. Like, if they made a battle royale out of it, I'd be like, maybe not. But I think it's good that it didn't come with release. Because
it gives the game a chance to breathe as well, doesn't it? It lets it stand on its two feet and go, I'm a thing! And then it's like, by the way, once you finish this thing, it's like, here's a whole side section to go and get lost in.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun with it. And to be honest, there's clearly games out there that have had content pulled and held back to be DLC. And that's the worst kind. But this is, like, if they were charging for this, I could see that argument. But they're not charging. It's just good. Like, I think it's a really cool move. I honestly think, my thoughts, it seems like they've loved making this world, and you can see that in the game. The passion for this game and the love for the source material is there. Mm. They've gone, hey, look, these legends are there. Wouldn't it be fun to make some missions with these actual mythical and actually magic and actual superpowers? And they're like, yeah, we could do that with our engine, what we're working with, our gameplay. We can actually do that. And I think it's gonna be fun. I'm super excited for that. Super excited. And I get to play with Odin, so me and him can team up together. So I'm pretty happy about that. Anyway, so what I've actually been playing is Mortal Shell, which is Dark Souls clone. Heavily I was Dark Souls clone.
It's the closest to a clone as you can get, apparently. I've got it, but I've not played it yet, but I've seen a lot of chat, and it's extremely Dark Souls. It's like the closest to Dark Souls without being called Dark Souls a game has ever been.
Agreed. It's probably the closest for me in combat. The combat's still not perfect. I just wish these copycats or Souls-like games, they just never get the combat quite right.
Hmm.
It's not terrible, and I probably, as I said, it's probably the closest it gets. But the good thing is they have kind of added their own elements. They have the defensive ability as a hardening
yeah,
ability.
Yeah, I've seen that. The guys, you put it on and folk with shields rush you and you shatter their shield and stuff.
Yes, and also you can pull it off at any time. So, but there's a cooldown. The downside, the combat does get very frustrating with multiple enemies, and that seems to be the game they like to play with you. Hey, look, now there's four guys. Yeah, okay. Mm. I had trouble with one of them, and now there's four of them.
Crank
and because
control.
The AI and the enemies is kind of inconsistent and very,
keep
very
you on
basic.
Keep you on
it's very,
toes.
Very, very basic. And the problem with having that as your defense is on a cooldown is that you only can block once every like 20 seconds or something. I don't actually know the time. Maybe 15 to 20 seconds is the cooldown. So when you've got three guys wailing on you, it does get frustrating. The good thing is it does have iframes, and so as you dodge, you can dodge through, because there's a mini harden that happens as you dodge. So, and that's how they explain the invincibility. So that is the good thing, is that they hit that's where it's closer to Souls, is they've got the iframes and you can time the rolling. It's just the, oh boy, rolling off edges was not a fun time. The rolling wasn't tied to how you moved. Well, it's a step and then a roll. So if you double tap, it does a sidestep and then a roll. But the few times that I rolled the opposite direction that I was pushing, because it's based on where the enemy moves, and so if the enemy suddenly moves as in their animation, it will force you directly away from them, and that can then lead you off. So it's not so much, you don't have as much control of where you're rolling when you're locked on, which made me a bit cross, I'm not going to lie. But I don't know. It's a good game, like, for what it is. It's very short. I was thinking,
I heard there's no many quote unquote dungeons in it.
Three, basically. There's the opening kind of hub area, and then there's three areas. I was thinking maybe this is unlocking, and like this is just going to be the intro. But I was like, nah, it was a half price game. It's not going to be long, and it was surprisingly short. But it took me a while to get into it. The first open area, my biggest issue was that there's no leveling. There's an upgrade system for like abilities, but the abilities didn't really add much.
Hey, do you know, like, you can up your sword and stuff, can't you?
You could, but I didn't find. I was just finding items, so it's not farming for those. You actually got to find an item, and so if you don't know where to find them,
no,
then
you're wrong.
I at one point I spent like 2 hours, and I just was angry at the end of it, because this is quite early on. I spent 2 hours exploring, didn't really find anything that made me stronger, and so it was like 2 hours of grinding without any reward. Whereas in Souls, you could grind for 2 hours and have at least leveled up, so then you're able to deal with enemies slightly better.
Yeah.
And so, but once
it,
I pushed,
is it maybe a case that it's no geared that way? If you know what I mean, it's more, it sounds like it's a bit more linear in nature and stuff. And
well, it is. The levels are very linear, and one's bigger than the other. But the open areas are a swamp, and it's a little twisty-turny, and it's kind of cool. But they use these weird crawl tunnels as shortcuts. But
Warden
it gets
sections.
The
Warden sections.
Yeah, but you can actually walk around the other way. But yeah, I guess it is. But I guess there would be more time for it to load in and pop in. But they kind of don't, they actually really bug me, because when you're trying to gain a grasp of a layout of an environment, having a tunnel where you crawl through and you're a pop-up, and it's really hard to kind of, where am I? Have I seen this? It's just another greeny, dark swamp area. Like, and so I refused to use them. But then I found, because the whole point of this mortal shell is that you're like a caterpillar. I don't know. You're not a caterpillar. I don't know what you call it. Like a...
You know, like a spectral entity, or, you know.
You embody other humans that have died. Their bodies.
Corpses.
So the whole point of the shell. And that's...
You're a hermit crab. Live with it.
There you go. You're a human crab.
You're a human hermit crab moving from shell to shell. When you find a nicer one, you move on.
And so basically you find, quite early on, you find a little hub area, and that there's little burial plots that you can click on, and they'll show you a vision of where these shells are. They were hard to kind of follow. Once you're really focused, you can kind of find some key points, but a couple of them were hidden behind crawl tunnels. And I'd already chosen to refuse to use the crawl tunnels because they confused my simple ass. My monkey brain couldn't handle warping. Well, basically it's a warp point, even though it's you crawling through. It's you're warping to another spot. And I just couldn't handle the exploration using them, and so they kind of bugged me. And that you die and you forget where you'd been and whatnot. So I stopped using them. So it took me a while to actually find some of these shells. But once I did, the starting shell isn't very good. But once I found one I liked, it became... there was no reason to switch. And that was the other downside. There was no real reason to switch to the other shells. Because there's literally one that's really good on dodging because it's got high stamina but really low health. You've got one that has really, really high health but low stamina, so he's the tank. And then you've got the one I use, Solomon, has slightly more health than the starting one and slightly less stamina. But the extra health was useful. And
it's,
his ability...
It's negligible, is what you're saying, is the...
Oh, exactly. So that didn't really... And because they all have their own slight, unique abilities...
They package them up as part of the gameplay, but realistically they're just collectibles.
Yes, that's why I see it. Is I didn't really see the need. I thought maybe the game, there might be get to a boss that's going to be like real harsh on hit point damage, and so you're kind of going to need to switch to the tank. But nah, never did. I did use, the first shell I got was the tank, and I did use him. Because amongst those, at the start of each area, there's a new weapon that you can unlock through a little boss fight. And I tried a couple of them. I'd found the two other areas, but just found that they seemed too hard because I still hadn't leveled up anything. I'd go in, nah, I can't do these enemies. I'd leave, go find another area. I got the first shell I got was the tank one, and I went and tried fighting the weapon. Because I tried the bosses, these mini bosses, to get the new weapons, and they were just too hard. They were too aggressive. I didn't have enough hit points, and I was like, nah, I can't do it. So, but then I got the tank, and then I ended up fighting against one of them, and it was a faster weapon. And I liked, and I just stuck, and again, there's the four weapons, but I stuck with this weapon because it was faster at attacking. And there's a giant Zweihänder, and I was like, okay, I'll try this, it may do more damage. No, it does the same damage. All the weapons do the same starting damage, there's no difference. Even though it's a giant three-handed sword, it did the same damage as my little hammer and chisel. And so I found that very strange. So I'm kind of explaining my grievances with the game. I was still impressed with what a small studio's done, and I'd like to see them evolve this. The lore was interesting, but very, very short-lived.
Well, that's the thing as well. It does feel... and then for what I hear as well, I know they did a tech demo. They did a in brackets beta. I don't know how you beta a single player. Demo. It does feel a bit like it's kind of a proof of concept, if you know what I mean. The actual thing itself, it feels like it. For what I hear, it doesn't have quite the depth that you would expect and stuff. You know what I mean, or looking for, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. it kind of feels like these dudes loved Dark Souls, like loved Dark Souls. They wanted to put and they were good at. They learned how to make games, and they have an art concept that they liked and ran with it. Like it's very metal, like you know, like that real heavy metal kind of like Iron Maiden. That's the kind of the art style.
You play your loot. That's all they brought to the table. That was it. The loot and nothing else.
Oh, actually, I had it in my quick menu, and I was fighting a boss, and I was nearly about to bite it, and I went to go heal, and I switched across to the loot without my axe, without realizing. I sat down and started playing the loot. But as I say, like, and I think I ended it on it quite
positive. At one point, playing the flute and goes to Kojima, just bring up my flute.
I've never done that by accident, though.
Well, it's tied to the touchpad, isn't
it? It is, but I don't think I've ever done it by accident. I think you can cancel that quite easily, and so maybe I might have started to do it, but then I've been moving, so it cancels it. Whereas this, once you hit it, it basically, you can't cancel it until a good 5 to 6 seconds into the animation.
So yeah, I think it's once he sits down or something on it, because it's not like he just takes it out and stands up. It's like, I've seen the loot side of it, and it's like he sits down and he just sits and rocks back and forth. Happy as Larry.
Yeah. And so it's not until he gets down that you can kind of get out of it. So it was, I managed to survive, and I think I still won that fight, but it was...
I'll be interested to know if they're going to support it with DLC, but... Because it seems ripe for putting Bolton in different dungeons and stuff.
Oh, for sure. I was kind of curious. Once I beat it, I was like, do I want to run through it again? I looked at the trophies, and one of the trophies is literally beating the game without... A shell, and when you're out of the shell,
the spectre,
and you have like no, so it's basically not getting hit because you have that little hit points. So no thanks. You can die, so it's like you can die and retry, but that does not sound like a good time.
No,
but yeah. There's potentially multiple endings. Like does the Dark Souls. You have a choice at the end, I think. And so I was kind of curious to see, but I was like, no, I don't want to have to go through all that again.
It sounds the length and stuff and that is maybe wanting to just sack off and just come back to it when you're feeling the need. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I probably could run through it in probably a few hours now I know the game. The weird thing is the new game plus, like Dark Souls, Dark Souls ramps things up, but even the starting enemies in Dark Souls, by the time you've gone through and leveled everything up, beat the game, they're still very trivial. Whereas this, they went from, I maxed out my weapon in the first playthrough. The second playthrough, they unlock and you can go from +5 to +10. On your weapon, and I had enough upgrade materials and I wasn't interested in using other weapons, so right at the start I went to +10 at the start of the game. The very basic humans, swamp men that you fight,
technical phrase,
the average ones were 3-hit combo at the start of the very start of the game. In New Game Plus, with a fully upgraded +10 weapon, the highest damage you can do, it went to like a 4-hit, 5-hit combo, I think it was. So it's a huge jump.
Groups to battle that, that ain't going to help no one.
Yeah, so it was a huge jump in difficulty for New Game Plus.
But then that's what Dark Souls fans want, you know what I mean?
I like a bit of a jump, but it's not it's never that big a jump. But again, there are only like 5 different enemies, so like those basic enemies are throughout the game, so I don't know. It's a hard one. At one point, I did find myself running through past things, like it's just not worth me fighting. At one point,
so the ultimate question was, would you recommend it?
If you've got a Dark Souls itch and you want to try something, I probably would. But again, I wouldn't go rush to do it. I would maybe, it's going to drop in price down to 10 bucks pretty soon, I'm pretty sure. But again, maybe if you want to support a studio who's trying to get out there, it's probably worth a purchase. It's half price of a full retail game, so it's not terrible.
But it's half game.
It is.
Or, no, let's rephrase that. It's half the game you would want it to be.
Yep, that's fair.
That's the bit. It's not a half game, no. It's half the game you want it to be, if that's the right terminology, instead of saying it's a half a game. Which I definitely think there was a buzz attached to it, and I totally understand that. But I just think that for what they showed in the beta to what they got in the final, having no really played it, but having seen people play it, heard you talk about it and stuff like that, it hasn't quite fulfilled or made the jump that people were expecting. Yeah, it's maybe technically more refined and smoother and less janky and stuff like that, but fundamentally it's pretty much what you got is what you got, you know?
Yeah, it's very simple. As I said, some cool concepts. The shell idea is really cool, but I would have liked... I thought... Because again, I don't look at games before they come out. I'm sick of being spoiled, so I tend to stay reasonably blind. I know if I'm interested, and then I wait to play the game. I thought that you'd be is more about the beating the enemies you fight and taking on their bodies, rather than a set for shells that. I don't really... So I like the idea of maybe having to adapt to the situation based on what shell you can actually manage to get. There were some cool items, like you could actually switch shells on the fly with consumable items. It was a cool idea. You could even have... You could unlock items that would summon the weapons. All the weapons. But I just never saw the point of switching.
I need to get a go.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what you think.
It's on the list. It's on the list.
Nice. So what's a recent game you've played?
Lots of things. Probably just going to talk about two, just because there's lots of things, and I think two is probably the thing. First one, nice and easy, just because it was the beta. Played the Avengers beta, which was run over the space of 3 weekends, but access was limited to certain people who bought on at a certain level. On it was exclusive PlayStation 1, and then it was exclusive to people who pre-ordered, then it was basically free to play to everybody. I wasn't too keen on it at the start, because it was the same level I'd played before, where you got to play as everybody, and it was basically the expo thing where you got to play as everybody, AD and blah blah blah. You fought Taskmaster, Black Widow and stuff. That's what it was. It's alright, it's not great. But having played it before, I was like, meh. After that, but it kind of opened up a wee bit. It was a generally generous beta. I think there was 20 missions all in. The main story beat through it was Miss Marvel and Hulk level. But you basically were the Hulk and her, and it ended up with you fighting the Abomination, which was quite a cool thing. Decent enough mission. You're the Hulk, which is not what you like. You know what I mean? Smash.
Yep.
Do the things. It was great. The after stuff was where the kind of co-op comes in, and it was kind of like very Destiny-like, and that you and four people, or you and four AI, go to certain locations, and there's set parameters you can do, so you can do certain, there's usually a mission, that's why you're getting sent there, but there's loads of side objectives, find the loot, or shut down high ranking officers and stuff and all that, but that side what you play is Iron Man, Hulk, Widow, Ms. Marvel, and that was it. Thor and Captain America were missing in the demo beyond the first level. Captain America disappears in the game, blah blah blah, he'll come back, who knows. He does, we don't know, blah blah. Four was a weird one. I thought four would have been part of it, but he just wasn't there. And I would say it was good. I've talked to a lot of folk who played it. They still kind of get rid of that MCU shadow. That shadow's going to be so hard for it to kick. it's just it casts high and fast over it, and people I've spoke to just can't see by why they couldn't get the likeness to Robbie Downey Jr. or Chris Evans, and I'm like, but it's the same thing. It's like comics. Every comics have different arcs and different stories, different artists, different blah blah blah. It's the same with the MCU stuff. It's like this is its own thing, and haven't been able to see that. And obviously, I've been able to see that because I've had quite a bit of exposure to the game before the beta. So I've kind of geared myself into this whole it's its own thing, so I can accept that. But a lot of folk were like, "Nah, I didn't like it," and that. And I heard folk kind of talking about how you're the Hulk, but you're beating robots up and down, but you're no. It's the Superman fucking equation in it. If Superman's, or let me phrase that, take Superman out. It's the one punch problem, because we've seen how they handled one punch in a game. One punch man game didn't actually involve Saitama. It was you playing in the background as a new hero. Saitama was there, but the whole point of Saitama was you called him in to one punch an enemy, and that was it. Or you played with him online and it was one punch, that was the point. So it's the kind of idea that you either build the Hulk to be a super, super, super power and you only get access with him sparingly, or you have him the way he is there, which he's no pushover. I was happy with the power rating on him. The demo did as well hint at the whole loot system, which is a very... Stink. Very Division. It felt like the Division. Each character you find, like the Hulk's a weird one because you find like spines and stuff for him. Don't ask. But like with Miss Marvel, you find like gauntlets, armor, and stuff like that. And it's obviously like, chase the numbers, higher numbers, better things. But it's the old scenario where everything's got different buffs and boosts and stuff, so you could spend forever picking a good piece of kit out of 8 or 9 you've picked up on a mission, only to get into the next mission and find an even better piece. Do you know? So, that's a thing. But, yeah, the game's out next week. And I can preview, pre-advanced buy it now version. And then it comes out for the end of the week, I think. I'm quite fancy getting stuck into it, but it looks good. I like the kind of story it's telling and the heroes it's hinting at adding and stuff and that. And there's a lot of chat surrounding the new about how apparently it came out the day that every additional hero to the game is going to have a separate £10 season pass for just them. So like, so far we've had Ant-Man's coming, Hawkeye's coming, Spider-Man's coming on the PlayStation, but not on the Xbox. So technically, that's like 3 characters, and they 3 characters will all have a season pass of their own. But then, I think a lot of it's going to be cosmetic and stuff. We'll see. But it seems like this game's going to be a money pit, one way or the other. But it was decent enough. What was on show, I enjoyed. So
just to explain the type of game. It's an action game, isn't it? Action.
Yeah, yeah. It's a third person fighting brawler explorer kind of thing, you know.
It's a campaign. It's not just random.
Well, it's like this is where the Destiny factor comes in. So, Destiny had a storyline that ran through it, right?
Yep.
But there was loads of other things you could do. You could do loads of different missions on the side, right? It's the same as this.
Okay.
It seems there'll be specific character missions, right? But there is other, so like you, it's a battle map you go to that shows you areas. So you'll go into one area and there'll be maybe 8 missions, and say 2 of them are hero missions, right? But then the rest of them come under different criteria, like strikes. So okay.
And so it is you can play it by yourself.
Yeah, I played the whole thing myself. I didn't actually get a chance to play co-op with anybody.
But the co-op is also played through the main campaign and the main.
You think so? As far as I can tell.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I was kind of clarifying, because
although
it could
I don't
be a
know,
game.
I think it might be just be co-op. I don't think it's 4-man co-op campaign. Because
can you play co-op on the same screen? On the same console.
I don't know about that. See, this is things I've not tried. But I know the Hulk mission was always Hulk and Miss Marvel with me. So I'd argue there might be co-op there, because one will be Miss Marvel and one will be Hulk. You know what I mean? It wasn't, you were never alone for the mission you played, you know?
Yeah.
The starting mission doesn't count, because obviously it's the starting mission, you jump from hero to hero to hero to introduce them all, you know?
Yeah. A lot of multiplayer games do that, where you play the first section single player.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a Yeah, exactly. Because I'm looking at whether or not me and Odin would like to get it.
I think the kind of strike stuff, the strike stuff seems really in-depth and stuff, and there's plenty of it, so it's probably worth it for that side, you know? I just don't know about the campaign.
Yeah, interesting.
But just watch, there might be a sting in the tail, depending on how they handle things post-launch.
Yeah. It's getting more and more.
I was going to say, I think it's built in such a way that they can add in infinite amount of heroes, you know, post-launch.
Yeah.
Which is probably a good thing, because I think they might dabble in other heroes, less known heroes, you know.
Yeah. Shazam.
Well.
Wait, was that DC. Marvel DC? Oh, he is DC.
He's DC. He's no joining the fray.
I forgot that. But he was Marvel. They sold him to DC, didn't they? Like,
yeah.
The comic, yeah.
Well, no. He was called Captain Marvel, and then Marvel spat the dummy at DC because they had a hero called Captain Marvel. And then he became Shazam. And then, obviously, Captain Marvel became somebody totally different in the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
So.
Politics. comic book politics.
It's all good. No, I was going to say as well, probably a good bit to slide in a bit there about the DC FanFest stuff. We now have the Gotham Knights game coming, which isn't set in the Arkham City universe, but sees Batman dying at the beginning, apparently. And you play, it's a four-player co-op, apparently, where you play as Nightwing, Red Hood, Batgirl, and Robin. And it looks like an Arkham game, but with four new guys, each with different powers, which is quite cool. The trailer they showed was Batgirl on her bike riding into the city and then fighting Mr. Freeze, and I'm like, yeah, I like Batman, I'm sold. The only other game they showed as well was the Suicide Squad game, which is obviously from Rocksteady and is set inside the Arkham universe. And it looks really interesting as well, because it's four-player co-op as well. What a four-player co-op on the go. Although it was all cinematic, so who knows about in-game, but it seems to be Brainiac is attacking Metropolis and he's turned the Justice League against everybody, and the Suicide Squad are sent in to kill the Justice League. The trailer shows Superman turning up as a baddie, and it's very funny. Very funny. Odd selection of characters for the Suicide Squad. Captain Boomerang, who's Australian, Harley, because she had to be there, Deadshot, because he had to be there, and they've went with King Shark, which is a really interesting thing, because King Shark seems to have replaced Killer Croc across the board, because they showed the new Suicide Squad movie, and King Shark's in that, and it's a bit weird, because technically I thought that was always Killer Croc's role, but...
Yeah.
It looks nice, it looks highly polished, day trailers, and like... Gotham Knights is out next year. Gotham Knights is out next year, and Suicide Squad is out the following year. So you're 2 years wait. So yeah, it's not even, other than a nice CGI trailer, it's a million miles away.
It is. So. And also the Batman movie.
Yeah, which that's plenty.
It looked good.
No, I'm not interested. It seems like the Batman movie to counter the Joker movie. If you know what I mean, like the moodiness of it and the tonalness of it and stuff, you know?
I know, it felt more Batman.
It felt like I'm young, dumb, and I'm angry at my dad. Do you know what I mean? That's what I got for it. It just seems darker and moodier than what it should be, and I don't know. Snyder Cut.
Fair enough.
It's all about the Snyder Cut.
Yeah. See, I didn't like the Nolan trilogy. I didn't like them.
I didn't mind the Nolan trilogy. It was alright.
They were good movies. Like, he did a good job. The blockbusterness of them was good. The explosions were good. But they weren't good Batman movies.
The first one didn't really know what it was doing. It kind of had. See, when you watch Batman Begins, it had one foot in the what it wanted to be and one foot in what it used to be. Because there's a real flight of fantasy feel about Gotham. And it kind of had that Tim Burton style, like the train station with the big pillars and all that. Like, if you look at the city in Batman Begins compared to like the cities in Batman, Dark Knight, and then I forget what the last one's called. What's the last one called?
Crowley Mask Boys.
Yeah, we'll go with that. they're really just the portrayals of like the how cities look in the real world. Whereas there is a kind of flavour of Tim Burton style Batman, kind of quite a fantasy about Gotham in the first one, which you forget about until you watch it again, but then when you watch it again, it's like, oh yeah, doesn't feel quite as gritty as what it should be, you know? I don't know. I think the Flash movie looks more interesting because they've already announced that they're going to have, Michael Keaton's going to be in it. Ben Affleck's coming back to be in it, because obviously the Flash is going to jump between dimensions.
Yeah,
multiverses.
It's weird.
So it's like, Batfleck's coming back. Yeah, you do realise Ben Affleck as Batman's going to be in it for like 4 nanoseconds. He's going to jump into his world and see him, and then he's going to jump into another world, you know what I mean?
It's just like, they can't make up their mind, like, what type of Batman movie they're making. They just keep remaking it over and over again. I guess Spider-Man did the same.
Well, I think DC fucked the whole thing in the head and destroyed it all by saying that, theoretically, whenever there's a new vision, whatever, right, unless stated, it's its own universe. Right? So, like, every Batman movie is its own universe apart from, like, the Batman Begins saga. And then, like, the new Batman's his own Batman. It's no link to any past one. The Joker movie's its own universe. It's no link to anything else. Shazam. The Justice League movies are all in the same universe. So, like, Justice League, Batman versus Super. So, Batfleck is the Justice League's world's Batman. So if they could, if theoretically it means they could do 100 million versions. Like they said as well, there's going to be like there's going to be a new telling of Batman, but they're going to make him out as if he's going to be black. Basically, he's going to be a black Batman. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, so where does that fit in? And they're like, no, he's his own universe, because they've already had Black Superman, who's a thing in the DC universe, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the new big thing's Batman's going to be black, and it's like, my argument is surely they can make a better character than rehashing an old character, and then you argue as well, what is he going to bring to the table that is going to enrich the Batman lore, if you know what I mean. I think they're running out of ideas, but anyway.
Yeah, it seems like
it. Do you know what I mean?
It could be cool. Like stuff I'm all for trying it.
Red Sun and stuff was cool. Like the idea of Superman landed in fucking Russia, what would have happened and stuff. That's cool. Do you know what I mean? That's a cool idea. Or if Batman was a Russian, what would happen in the Cold War? Or if Batman was a Nazi, or some stuff, you know what I mean? If Batman was bit by a bat and stuff, like if Batman was a vampire, do you know what I mean? It's really cool concept stuff. It's just like when they start changing, like making them female and stuff, I don't really see what that adds to the character or the lore or the whole, like, Jane Foster becoming 4, fair enough. It's a kind of natural thing. Iron Man becoming a woman, not so much. Do you know what I mean? It just seems like you're just chopping and changing to suit yourself. War Machine becoming the Punisher. Fair enough. War Machine's a fucking tank. Being the Punisher fits in with the fact that he's armed to the teeth with miniguns, flamethrowers and rocket launchers. Makes sense, you know? Yep. I don't know. I just think what you say, comic politics is a messy, messy place.
That could be the name of the episode, comic politics. But that's the thing. Like, as I say, it's cool to do different things with different types of characters and different backgrounds.
Well, I read a lot of comics. I'm reading the DC deceased line now, which is fucking phenomenal, because the idea of that is Darkseid basically makes a virus that he puts into Cyborg, and then everybody this virus becomes unstoppable, so everybody becomes zombies, right? So in the DC world, everybody becomes zombies, which means all the humans become zombies, all the heroes become zombies, but it's how they become zombies that's really fun. So like Superman flew square into the Flash, blew him up, but he ended up getting speared in the ribs with one of the Flash's bones as he turned into mush, and that transferred the virus to Superman. So Superman became a zombie, and it's really cool. It's a cool idea. Like, what would happen if superpowered humans became zombies? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, that's good. And it's like you watch Robin, no, Alfred have to kill Batman because he's a zombie. You know what I mean? It's like you never thought you'd see. It's like, so Alfred looked after Bruce since he was a wee boy. So you've got that moment where Alfred has to pull the trigger on the heir of the thing, but then also in that, it's like Batman's son and stuff's involved, and Robin, and basically the first series was great, and then it moved on to the second series and it became mere Mad Max. So the second series kind of followed on, and what happened was Robin went and found the Joker, killed the Joker for reasons because the Joker gave Batman the virus, but anyway, he basically killed the Joker and mounted him to the front of the Batmobile, like crucified him on the front of it, still half alive, and Alfred's like, no, Jim Gordon's gone to him, do you think that's a bit much? And Robin just goes, shut the hell up, it's the apocalypse. And they drove about the wasteland with the Joker crucified on the front of the Batmobile tank. Jim Gordon, and Batgirl. And it's just that shit's cool. Do you know what I mean? The notion of like how would Green Arrow becomes infected, but he knows he's infected, and he chooses to kill himself in front of Black Canary, who's his wife and stuff and all that, and it's all about them, they get away from it, but jump into a different dimension and stuff, but the virus never ended. There's no third story where the virus is followed back, but there was like this guy, I can't remember his name, but he can go through mirrors. It's about like Nightcrawler. Now Nightcrawler can teleport. This guy can basically use mirrored surfaces to come for you. So there was a bus full of school kids, and he was using the glass, the reflection in the mirrors, the glass, to basically kill them all one at a time. It's fucking cool shit. It's mental, but it's cool. That's the kind of stories I like. I don't like the mayor, I'm Iron Man, but I'm a woman. Right?
Yeah, changing it's fine, but just it needs to be valid or actually tell a good story, not just change for the sake of changing.
Yeah, like a PR stunt to sell comics.
Well, because it's cynical. I don't like cynical pandering. That's the big thing I don't like, when they're just clearly trying to do it to say, look, we're woke, kind of attitude. Yeah. But doing it because they have a story to tell. It's all about having a story to tell.
Well, I read the gaming version of Spider-Man, which is tales told within Spider-Man, the games universe, which is quite cool.
Yeah.
Because obviously that's its own thing. So, like, Miles Morales is not really Spider-Man in that world. Well, isn't he Spider-Man yet? In brackets. I also read Spider-Man Noir, which is brilliant, which is kind of like a 1920s take on, like the Phantom, the Rocketeer, the Shadow, Spider-Man Noir. These are all the kind of, he's half detective, half maniac, but he fights guys like Electro, and it's like this big massive guy that wears a fancy backpack, but he's got a big massive mustache. He's like a strongman Electro, and it's like, that's cool shit, man. You know what I mean? They're fighting the Nazis. It's like Spider-Man fighting the Nazis in airships and shit. That's cool shit.
Yeah, it's fun. They just try random stuff.
Yeah. That's when comics are their best. When they're totally just flight of fantasy material.
Yeah, yeah.
Sidetracked. Big time.
I thought I'd like the Batman in feudal Japan, but it wasn't very good in the end.
Ninja Batman.
Yeah, it wasn't very good. Joker made.
I don't know. I'm really picky with my what I read comic wise. Because I used enough. To. There's too much. Yeah, I read more DC than I read. Spider-Man Noir is the only non-DC book I read the new, just because I like the aesthetic of Batman. Spider-Man being. I like Noir Spider-Man. He's a great character because he's not a wee boy. He's not a cocky kid. You know what I mean? He's a detective. You know, it's a cool thing. You know, I think that's the thing as well. It's when you shake off the kind of stereotypes like Spider-Man Yank, a cocky kid. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm Peter Parker, I'm a wee kid, blah, blah, blah. And that, no. What happens when he's like a gritty, washed-out alcoholic? You know, it's like, well, good question. So yeah, I really like the Harley Quinn animated series. Yeah, she swears like a trooper, but it's so funny. And it's like, Jim Gordon, it's amazing, because he's an alcoholic. He's an absolute raging alcoholic, and he's so needy for Batman, it's unreal. Batman can't stand him because he's like, did you want me to come with you, Batman? He's like, no.
No.
But I can help. He's like, no. It's just like, yeah, it plays on the stereotypes. And Bane's amazing in it. Bane, it's like that show's took the best bits of the everything Batman, because Bane's got his fucking stupid voice for The Dark Knight. So he's like really high pitched and that, and there's a bit in it where he's like it's like the Penguin's nephew's bar mitzvah, and the Joker's eating a bit of cake, and he's like, "Can I have a piece of that cake?" And the Joker's like, "No," and he goes, "You're just mean." It's like, yes, he's fucking because the Bane's massive. He's like a fucking tank next to the Joker, and the Joker's just like, "No, I'm going to go cry." And then it's like Clayface, they paint Clayface as an actor and shit. It's like Clayface isn't really a maniac, he's just a wannabe Hollywood star and stuff. It's so stupid but brilliant. I like it. That's the kind of comic stuff I like, you know what I mean? I like Captain America, I really like Captain America and stuff and that, but I think sometimes Marvel can be a bit po-faced. Because the last big arc I read was the Steve Rogers being a Hydra agent, or pretending to be a Hydra agent, depending on how you look at it. It was just too fucking heavy. You know what I mean? I was just like, nah, I'm done. I need a wee rest for.
Yeah, same thing happened with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like this whole, the whole twist, like, oh, we're actually Hydra. I was like, nah, I can't do this anymore. It's just kidding. With a true S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, and then the underground S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, and yeah,
The problem with that is, I think after Winter Soldier, they had to do that. You know what I mean? Because if they hadn't done that, Winter Soldier, to be canon, do you know what I mean? How can you have a TV series based on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. not knowing that they're actually Hydra agents, some of them? It's like, but then Phil Coulson's died and died again and died again and died again and died again. You know what I mean? It's just, I didn't mean Peggy Carter. Peggy Carter was alright, but then again, we're back to,
that was cool.
We're back like to that aesthetic I like, 1920s hardboiled detective, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Nah, she was cool though. I did like that show.
But and it was good how, like, obviously had Tony Stark's dad and stuff in it and that. Nah, it was corny and cheesy, but it was alright. It was good. It was a good laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
you played anything else? Getting back to the video games?
The only other thing I was going to mention, other than Comic Hour, everyone's favourite, was I played the Samurai Jack game, which was really interesting.
Is it? Because
it's called Battle Through Time.
Is it out now?
But yeah, it came out 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I missed it.
Any it's good? Called Battle Through Time, but it's pretty much a portal to a forgotten time. It plays very much like a kind of PS2 original Xbox title. So what you get is what you get. There's a story, and you're playing through it, and there's a big unlock tree, and you can pull off combos and upgrades and stuff and that. And it's just, if you're a Samurai Jack fan, you'll really enjoy it. My thing is that it starts off okay, but then it dives headfirst into the events of Season 5. And I know Season 5 is like 3 years old now, but if you've not seen Season 5, you will be lost. Big time.
Do they finally release? Because Samurai Jack's not that recent.
So it's done. It's all done.
I missed that too.
Season 5 is the... This cool. Retells... So what happens is... No spoilers, but... He's about to fight a coup, and he opens up another portal and sends him back into time. But it's like he sends him back to all the epic fights he's fought in time, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a boss rush before he goes back and fights him. But then it's like Aku's... I didn't realise, but Aku had a daughter who's actually Samurai Jack's kind of girlfriend. But she's also got the powers of Aku because she's his daughter, and I don't know. I've not seen Season 5, and I was a bit like, what's going on here? But by the end, it all works out in the end. Everybody's happy. And I'm a Samurai Jack fan, and I really liked it. Yes, there could have been more cameos for characters in it, I think, personally. But on the whole, it does a good job at paying respect to the series, and it looks really decent comparing it to the TV show. It looks decent. It's got loads of nice touches, like when you get damaged, your robes tear.
Ah, cool.
So you can end up with, like, all scarred and beaten up at the end of a fight. We are like basically shirtless, and then when you heal, you're clean faced and your robes are back, and you get like swords, maces, you loads of weapons in it. I'm really surprised with the sheer amount of weapons you get. Like you get shuriken and knives and that, but then you get like a pistol and a machine gun because you fight these bounty hunters who again are a Season 5 thing, I think. And then, like, you can upgrade it and stuff, and it's good. It's a good 8 hours worth of really nice, easy go. It's like a hack. It's a hack and slash for people who just want to feel powerful at the end of the night. If you know what I mean, it's no like Devil May Cry. If I don't pull this combo off perfect, I won't win. If you know what I mean,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, you can make mistakes and stuff, but you're still gonna look cool as hell doing it. You know. And you go to all the different locations for the show as well, which is quite cool as well, because you go to like the future city that's ruled by Aku and the mines and stuff and all that, and it's good. But again, you really need to watch Season 5 to get to really have an understanding of what's coming, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, cool. So, I did see that a special collector's edition for it or something that was really limited.
It came with a really nice model, but it's £200. It's £250 or something. It's crazy money.
And it was stupid limited and stuff.
I think it was a limited run that did it. Oddly enough. But yeah, it was nice. If you're looking, the thing as well, it's been 15 years since the last Samurai Jack game, so that's a long time.
Well, what's the gap between Season 4 and 5 then? It'll be a good 10, 15 years.
10 year maybe.
Yeah.
So, but the only reason Season 5 exists is because they wanted to finish the story.
Well, you'd hope so, because that's what stories should have an end.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, the whole idea is, it's a quantum leap scenario. Jack just keeps travelling through time, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's the whole point. But then the whole thing as well is, like, in that one, he grows a big, massive, long beard and stuff in that, and I don't really know the background behind that. And he fights this like cyborg ninja assassin that keeps spouting jazz to him. it's weird, but it's all in that season. That's the thing. That's that assassin's a known factor in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, when you fight him, I don't have any attachment to him because I don't know who he is.
Yep.
But then there's other enemies in it I know, like the cowboy like the when he went to the cowboy world, whatever, and the kind of big guy with the big nose, the big cartoon nose, and the wee barmaid, you fight them in it, and you fight the Scotsman in it, and
it's been such a long time since I loved Samurai Jack back in the day, but it's been so long. Yeah,
see, I found out you can there's a streaming platform in the UK that you can watch all of it on. So I started watching it, but I started watching it a bit too late to catch up to for the game coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm actually on season 3, episode like 4 now.
Nice.
So I've still got a bit to go to get to 5, but I've finished the game, so it's like, oh well.
Man, they should have dropped a series on Netflix.
Well, you think that, wouldn't you? But I don't know.
That would have got a lot of attention, and this game would have sold even better.
Well, it's a, what do you call it? It's the same folk who own Rick and Morty that have it, so.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Rick and Morty's on Netflix, isn't they? So.
Yes, you think that'd be better. Yeah. I think one of the only other games I've played is Fall Guys, which I'm sure you've played as well.
That's what it is.
It is fun,
though. That's what it is. It's non-offensive thing.
Yeah. It's... Everyone must know about it now, because it's got a lot of attention. It's like one of the fastest-selling games.
It's sold 7 million copies on the PC. It's on PS Plus for free, so...
Yeah.
If you don't know what Fall Guys is, you're living under a cage.
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of fun because it's taking this battle royale kind of genre that's hit the main streets of gaming recently. Yeah. But you're not competing. You're competing, but you're competing to win
a race.
It's
more like a game show.
Yeah, it's based on that Japanese game show where humans do dumb stuff like try and run through fake doors that might be real. Yeah.
Takeshi's Castle.
That's the one.
It's a mixture of Takeshi's Castle and a show called Wipeout, which is kind of
Wipeout's in America as well.
Yeah, it's kind of obstacle courses, but it's like you run across big balls, but there's pools of water below you and all that. Ultimate Ninja Warrior as well, kind of that, kind of. It's an obstacle course. Sometimes it's an obstacle course, sometimes it's not an obstacle course. It's a team game and stuff.
It is fun to play. Like, me and Odin jump on together and we'll try and smack talk each other if we lose. One of us lose.
Get a crown and win.
Odin's won a match. I still haven't, but I've only played maybe half a dozen times. But it's a bit of fun. And good on them. I think it was very clever that they released it free on PlayStation Plus. I think that's helped get the word out there about the game. Because if it just snuck onto the PSN,
it's the Rocket League effect.
And the other, I think if it was more human physics, it wouldn't be as fun. I think the fact that it's this blobby man physic. Game, the ragdoll physics.
It's more like a kind of people fall flat or gang beasts.
Yeah, gang beasts, human fall flat, totally reliable delivery service. It's this new genre that's creeping in of floppy men.
Mm-hmm.
Floppy people genre. I don't know. It seems to be a thing. And so it fits in with that kind of awkward. This is probably a little smoother and easier to manage your character, but it's still, you got that floppy ragdoll mechanics.
Hmm.
Yeah, bit of fun. Four guys.
It'll be here for a while.
Yes, it will. It's really hard to win. Do you see that one of the trophies is to win 5 matches in a row, which is like next to impossible?
Yeah, quite a few people I know have got that. But I think it's like you get in with the mindset to get it, and you'll get it, if you know what I mean.
All right, what I heard is the only people who had played the beta before the release and so knew the game on release, they had an advantage, and so they won like 5 in like the first day of release before people knew the different levels.
Hmm.
But that's going to piss off trophy hunters.
Yeah, that's what it is. I know there's a big thing they know about the hackers and stuff in it on PC and stuff, but yeah. Again, it is what it is. It's what it is. Do you know what I mean? It's a nice harmless game. It could do things better. Playing with people is a bit awkward because you don't really play with people. You just play in a group, but your group gets put in theory you could be on the other side of the moon for all you know. It doesn't identify your team with any kind of cursor or symbol or that above their head, which I find a bit irritating, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I wonder if they might develop and add more meat to it, so maybe there is team based rounds. So you've got 10
egg. Well, what is it? Tail grab. The new, there's a tail grab. The eggs. There's the one where you roll the ball down the hill. There's football. Everybody
loves
football.
Those are the team based, but they're not really. That's just one of the rounds, and not, it just chooses who gets knocked out. I mean, like, that it's actually.
Always yellow team. Don't ask why, but it's always yellow team.
Yeah, everyone picks on them. It's the same apparently with Pokemon Go. People don't like the yellow team. I don't know.
Hate
bananas. Yeah. Or lemons, I don't know. But like, what I mean
they're
is like
better.
If they had like 20 teams of three and you actually
Well that's you rolling into COD material in it and Fortnite material, like a big team battle.
Same kind of levels, but then you've got like a team that you've got to get at least one of your guys over or something, and so you're actually working as a team, so you might have the blockers charging ahead, and that could be kind of fun if they kind of chucked in a actual squad with victories and stuff.
Well, they're bringing the season 2, which is all medieval themed in it. That was shown, like I was saying earlier on, that was shown at the Gamescom, wasn't it? So it's all Knights of the Realm and dragons and wizards and stuff. And
funny.
It brings with it new, they call them trials, based on medieval things and stuff. So it's like, I suppose it ain't bad. It ain't bad. So that's right. It's not going away. And
no, it's not.
They'll be an exclusivity deal on it, the new, I think, for Sony. But like the amount of people crying out for it to hit the Switch is unholy. So it'll be coming elsewhere pretty soon. Plus, it hits me as the perfect fit for the Switch, you know.
Yep, just a silly bit of fun. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what will happen with it. I think it will stay around. It's not the type of game I play. Like, it's not the game I'm usually interested in. But it is fun, just as a bit of a palate cleanser, a bit of silly banter. So, yeah. I think that successfully wraps up our mission for this day.
It does. We have talked the talk. We have tangent the tangent. We have visited the water closet and heard the dodgy dad jokes. Hell of a day!
That's the one. So I guess we should just end. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Tinternet and everywhere else in between under Fury AC3.
Cool. And I'm Vader Van Odin. Vader Van Odin in most places.
Outstanding. And if they care to find the website or the podcast or us officially, where can they find us? places.
gamersguidetothegalaxy.space.
Who knows what's there? I've never checked it. Could be something really exciting. Could be something not so exciting. Who knows?
Yeah, nobody knows. Gamers Galaxy Pod on Twitter. We don't really use it. We should get better at it, but this has been a bit of a crazy year this year.
Yeah, it's not like we've been trapped in the house for endless amounts of time with nothing to do. Some of us have been building chicken coops and filming movies, you know what I mean, as the world comes to an end. So yeah, it's
yep,
nice
gotta
to
stay busy.
Swings and roundabouts.
Yep, it's better to burn out than fade away.
Hmm.
And our good man Brian, he's had a drastic accident and he will be returning as an android next episode.
Yep, be right back.
But no, everything's all good. We will see you next time. And just to honour Brian, since he's not here, we have to go out with our slogan. Don't forget your gamepads.
Catchies.
Bye-bye.